You're listening to Stonecast, Curling in the Twin Cities, with Jordan Wickland and Christopher Lisney.
Today we're talking to Kristen Lovejoy, a nominee for the St. Paul Curling Club Board of Directors.
That's great. Well, we're drinking margaritas with Kristen Lovejoy.
A margarita herself.
Margarita Curling Club.
Cheers.
Cheers. At one point, I had hoped to get sombreros, but we'll settle for Marty Robbins, who is a wonderful storyteller, songwriter, and personal hero of mine. Excellent.
Excellent.
All right. Fade out.
Fade out.
Good margaritas.
Great margaritas.
How does it compare to the Margarita Club's margaritas?
Oh, I can't go there.
What is that like?
Are you swan under
sacred or is
no? It's really good. It's a complimentary one to the margaritas.
I heard that you were a 5-year bottle skip.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. Let's discuss the bottle skip.
I've never heard that term before.
Well, it's one term for the person that, you know, gets people drinks for the team that's curling or the team that you're watching. You might have a 5-person team. You're curling. Maybe you're overseas and you need a 5-person team in case somebody had too many margaritas.
You know what we call that in North Carolina? Cabana boy.
Well, oh, yes, yeah. Very similar to Cabana boy.
whoever sat among our 5 was Cabana boy. And might I say, Jason Jurish, far and away, was the finest Cabana boy. People might remember Jason if they curled the Goodwill as the he had a kilt and a kind of Nordic sort of beard conglomeration with braids.
He had a utility kilt.
He looked very official.
And it was like a working man's kilt.
It's actually out of Seattle. Utility kilts are made in Seattle, yeah. They're huge out there.
Have you ever worn a kilt?
I aspire to wear a kilt.
Have you ever worn a dress?
I'm sad to say I did during a, not even sad, it was fun. It was during a college kind of theater experience thing I was a part of.
All right, let's go back to
Well, Kristen. I have worn pants, not just skirts. So,
nice.
Or dresses. So I'm not originally from here. And when I moved here, I met somebody at work, Erica Overgaard, who used to be a curler at St. Paul. She introduced me to...
I love that last name.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, too.
So you met this woman.
So Erica and I were co-workers, and she said, I'm going to join St. Paul Curling Club. I was like, what's that? What's curling? She's like, no, you got to come and join. No, I'm not going to. No, I'll watch for a while. So she joined, and for about 5 years, I came and watched and clapped them on during, like, the Winter Carnival and all that kind of stuff. Had a great time watching everybody in costumes, those types of things, and just learned a little bit about the sport while I watched. And so I was kind of the bottle skip. 5 years later, decided to take a curling clinic at Edina. And I took the clinic with Mark Wilmert and Michelle Summer and had a great time. And one of my favorite memories from it was Mark Wilmert screaming at me when I was sweeping, saying, breathe, breathe, because I wasn't breathing. My face was turning red. But I had such a great time, got addicted to it, and I loved the strategy of the game. And most importantly, I kind of liked the family atmosphere, the camaraderie, just off the ice, the etiquette, all those kinds of things. And so I decided to continue on. So I went back and I talked to Erica, and our agreement was if I really liked it, we were going to form a team. So I went back and asked her, and she's like, I'm moving. I'm moving to Alma, Wisconsin. What? So she curls out of Centerville now. So yeah, we've curled in a couple bond spiels and stuff together and curled down in Centerville during the Sippy Spiel, which her organization hosts or her club hosts. But
Sippy Spiel.
Yeah, it's a women's bond spiel around wine and camaraderie. It used to be called
There's
something else.
There's a little bit of a theme that's developing about you.
No. She moved, and so I started curling in Edina on a league there. But I curled there, and I also became member of the board just because I kind of wanted to, same thing, kind of wanted to give back to the community and really had a good time. And we were looking for a facility because the facility we were in at the time was hockey-based. So we were competing with Hockey Time. And so we were looking for another facility, and we weren't successful in that. So Edina ended up closing it.
5 years as bottle skip, 2-3 years in Edina.
Well, and in that, I was recruited to curling. So in 2006, that's probably when I started in St. Paul, is 2006. So I started curling. I got a call from a team on Thursday nights and asked me if I wanted to curl with them. And I said, sure. So I've been curling with them since then. And they're a fabulous team. And I have a great time on Thursday nights and the dynamics of just everybody we curl with and the team and stuff. And they've been very forgiving of my travel schedule, so which has been nice.
Teams that drink together win together.
And I've also heard that teams that are sober together win, too. I don't need to drink to have a good time, and I don't need to drink to curl well.
I would agree with you on that. Although, no, if I've been drinking and had no sleep, I tend to curl better for some reason. So.
Absolutely. That's what I'm getting at.
All right, so why do you want to be just like curling active on the board?
Two things, primarily. One is just to give back. I mean, I've been a member of the club for quite a few years. I've had a lot of, you know, ideas over the years and just kind of, you know, just watching how things develop. And two of the things that I really like about the curling community is the camaraderie and the family that you develop. I've curled internationally because I used to travel a lot for my job. Now I'm not traveling as much, but when I do travel, I've been able to go to curling clubs in other countries where they don't know me, or I've been, you know, funneled through somebody that I know from an event or something like that. And they say, hey, go to this club. And I go there and I'm just welcomed and embraced. And like, it's you're part of this family, this community. And it's been very comforting. You know, I am a woman. So, you know, the podcast probably doesn't reflect that, but in traveling as a woman, it's kind of difficult sometimes, right? And it's, you know, you're in a foreign country and you're meeting, you know, trying to get out there. And I'm one to explore. I'm not one to stay in my hotel room. So I go out and I do things. And the curling club, it was kind of nice. So yeah, I was working in Basel, Switzerland. And actually, Margot Ackerman, a member of our club, introduced me to Marcus, who's actually on the Margarita as well. And Marcus introduced me to one of the clubs over there, and I went over there, and I had a fabulous time, and I was embraced by it. And it's pretty much been the theme every club I've ever visited when I've been traveling, and I tried, if there's a curling club nearby, I'll go.
To curl or just to visit?
It depends on what's going on. Like, the very first time I visited the club that I went to in Basel, it's just outside of Basel, technically, there was a international competition going on between Japan and Switzerland and a couple other men's.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I was just watching in the stadium, and their club's cool. They've got like three levels. You walk in and there's like 8 sheets here, and then you walk upstairs and then there's competitive sheets and there's restaurant. It's kind of a cool club. Yeah. You know, the Swiss Alps, you know, give it a couple layers.
Wow.
But yeah, it's, so the, for me, it's been such a family to me, the curling community, that I want to give back. So circling back to the question you originally asked is, what do I want to do?
Did I ask a question?
You
did. I feel like I've just been drinking and babbling.
You did.
Like a book.
I was, you know, when I first got the email about doing the podcast, I was skeptical, actually. There was like, oh, we're going to do it in my basement. And I'm like, you know, when I first got the, it was kind of interesting because I've not seen that done for the, well, even just for the board or just in general, but I think it's a great tool to promote curling in the Twin Cities.
It will be.
And even like suggesting to interview Mark Wilmert with TCCA, I mean, part of his goal is to kind of build the curling community in the Twin Cities, and he's done a fabulous job at that. It's another method to promote it and really get it out there. And also from an international perspective as well of promoting curling here. And we were talking about, you know, what is my goal on the, as a board member. You know, I've got a couple things, you know, the family, the community, just embracing that and really promoting our club at a global level. And, you know, we have the Men's International, we have several other Bondspiels, pulling people in and growing the community itself. And that kind of leads into kind of the passion of like, what do we do with our building, right? There's a lot of efforts and discussion around how do we grow our building in the neighborhood, take care of issues that the community perceives as, you know, like parking.
Well, how does the club benefit from a community aspect that might detract from other businesses? Or like, you want to avoid that, obviously.
Right. Because that puts a negative light on the club if you're detracting from other businesses. It's more growing the community and embracing the community and fixing some of the problems that we have in the community as a result of the club and the growth that's happening in that neighborhood, with regards to parking, with regards to, you know, it just you know, everybody knows about the parking situation with the gnome and stuff like that. And do, you know, there's been talk about expanding the club and building off, you know, changing the orientation of the ice. And there's all these, you know, been discussion about those plans. And I like the forward thinking aspect of the club of thinking, how do we grow this and how do we make it better for the community and for the club? So both the community and the club benefits. And that's kind of what I have more of a passion about. And that's a huge thing, you know, to change the ice, you know, where our ice is, change the orientation. You know, there's, you know, you hear things about like condos being built or parking being, you know, parking structures being built. And how would that work and how would that feed the community and how would that help the community as well? There was just the announcement that Revival is going in, where Cheeky Monkey's going in. That's going to bring in more traffic. You've got Red Cow that went in a couple of years ago. There's a lot of activity in that neighborhood.
Cheeky Monkey is closing?
Cheeky Monkey already closed. Mm-hmm. Revival's moving into their building. So, I mean, there's all those things you have to consider, but keeping the historic aspect of it, keeping the
we got to get the dive bar back across the street.
We talked about this.
Dive bar?
Red Cow is in the site of the old Costello's.
Yes.
Which was a wonderful place. Buddy. You know, it's gentrification has its advantages, but As far as Saturday night post bond spiel, you know, I don't want to go to the Red Cow. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Costello's and have a drink and dance.
Yeah.
And
I'd go to the Muddy Pig. I like the Muddy Pig.
Muddy Pig is fun.
Well, yeah. I love the Muddy Pig. And they've got good food. And I really love Sweeney's.
Mm-hmm. Sweeney's is good too.
But to have some place on Selby within a 3 to 4 block radius.
Stumbleable
place is
some place where you can like possibly bring some Canadians and then the Canadians will get stabbed.
Oh, and not, I was going to say not get stabbed. That came up last time.
Oh, I haven't heard that podcast.
Now that I have the headphones on, I can hear some sort of Irish Scottish
brogue.
With me?
Yes.
Well, I just came back from there.
It shows. It's wonderful.
Thanks. I've spent a few days there besides this year, but yeah.
That's a good point.
Do you speak multiple languages?
What are the Swiss like?
Can she answer my question?
The Swiss are very embracing. Love them to death.
Do you speak multiple languages?
I have studied multiple languages, yeah.
Which ones? Pig Latin?
Yes, actually. Yeah. Pig Latin, that's my number one. English, American and the UK.
English?
Yeah. Even American Sign Language was my second language.
I used to know sign language as a kid. I feel bad that I don't know it anymore.
Yeah, you know, I've studied other languages and I was fluent in them for a while. And you don't use them, you lose them is kind of the way. So French, German.
Do you know what this means? Wach auf, du Murmeltier.
Herr Bloch.
When my... growing up learning, I learned German from my grandmother and I learned German in school.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there was a difference between high and low. Our teacher would teach us all the swear words. And on like the first week, it was like all swear words. It's like, get it out. You know, you're going to ask. So
could you describe what and where Highland Week is for those who are unfamiliar?
Oh, so Highland Week of International Curling, or those of us that say HWIC in text, is in Inverness, Scotland, and it's held the first week of March every year. So this year was the 50th.
I'm going.
Well, it's invite only.
Damn it. Can I get you another margarita?
You're gonna invite us, right? We got to do a pod from Inverness during HIWC.
Don't invite
if we're
him.
Texting.
Only invite me.
So it's a fabulous event. So the Highland Week of International Curling, it's a Sunday through, well, this year it was one day longer because of it being the 50th anniversary. But it's basically a Sunday through Friday curling event. And you curl every day. There's one day you curl two games. But in general, it's one day a week. And then what's really nice is just everybody stays in the same hotel. All the events after the curling are held at the hotel. Kingsmill in Inverness. Fabulous facility.
So you never have to leave.
No, you never have to leave. So it's
I like that. That's what Brian told me.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And you know, you can take a shuttle or you can walk to the facility for curling. Come back. I mean, there's a couple events that one night a week. It's on Wednesdays usually where you go out in the community and kind of, there's nothing happening at the hotel. So you go out to dinner in the community and stuff like that. But you basically curl and then you come back and there's like Monday night was a Scottish Ceilidh. So traditional Scottish music, traditional and a formal addressing of the haggis, which Mike Watt, who's also a margarita,
A formal addressing of the... Yeah. Haggis, I would like to address you.
I have a video of it. I should send it to you. It's amazing.
We must address the Haggis.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that would be one
Robert Burns. He does Robert Burns. So it's really neat, and Mike does a fabulous job at it. And so every night's kind of a different event, and there's dinner and dancing, and, you know, it's kind of neat because you dine with other teams from all over the globe. This year we had people from Sweden, we had people from Switzerland, we had people from England, Scotland, the U.S., Canada.
Anybody from Wisconsin?
I think we did have some Wisconsin people, but they're not another country. They're actually a state.
Oh.
I was born there, so I know this.
Great.
Geography is a tough subject for this guy.
So the international aspect, it's for me, it's the culture, it's the people. Mm-hmm. It's realizing that even though I'm an American and you're from, you know, Germany or Switzerland or the UK, that we're all here on the same planet. We have this common interest that we're all passionate about. And we're trying to provide, for, you know, there's that whole, you can get into the politics side of it. You're like all trying to provide for the family and you're just the basic elements of life. But for me, it's just
shelter.
Food. Shelter, food. Exactly. Booze. Yeah, well,
margaritas.
Margaritas, yeah. But it's just the family, that you can develop this family feeling with somebody across the globe and really bond with somebody over something, a sport. Mm-hmm. And I've been an athlete my entire life, but this is the first sport I've played where it was a true family feeling for me anyway. And I think it's a very personal thing on how people bond with or decide to curl and decide what they like about curling. Like, I like the competitive side and I get angry if I ever skip. I can't stand skipping because of the stress of it, because I don't like to lose. But for me, I like to have fun and I like to enjoy the people I'm with. And one of my favorite parts of curling, not just the game on the ice and the strategy, is the after the curling. And you're sitting having a drink. You don't have to have an alcoholic drink or a margarita, whatever. You're just sitting talking to people and dining with people and learning about them and learning, you know, just what they do and what they're passionate about and, you know, just building that bond with them that you don't get in other sports. But I found when I first started curling, people are like, well, where's... And they'll mention, oh, the St. Paul Curling Club. But they don't know where it is. They're just aware of it by name. They know it exists, but they don't know where it is. And then you say, oh, it's by the Happy Gnome. Oh, that's right. It's right next door. And, you know, you get that type of stuff. But I think, you know, kind of circling back on the board, I mean, one of the other things I wanted to do was get involved with just the forward thinking of it, the community.
You should start an international committee.
Well, that'd be interesting.
We need a new committee.
You know, the Scottish Tour is coming here next year.
Oh,
and they are coming, and they are coming to St. Paul.
We're going to ask you who to get on the pod, and we will, and you'll be involved. And
you mean the podcast?
Well, those in the know call it the pod. Pod veteran.
This is my first, this is my first podcast.
The question, though, on the table is, what do you intend to do to raise the international awareness of the St. Paul Curling Club? Scottish Tour is in town.
I think it's a very good question. And I think that'll depend on, one, if I get on the board, and two, what we can do with the board and how we can promote that and drive that. I'm not aware of an international committee, based on the list that I'm aware of, but I think it's promoting things like the Men's International, the Scottish Tour coming in, doing more things like that, getting people more involved. There's a promotion. There's actually a website for curling, Bonspiels that you can sign up for internationally now, and getting our Bonspiels out there, those types of things, getting more promotion of our Bonspiels out there, I think is a start. So
why do you think that's important? Like, why is promoting, like, we have a very healthy club, lots mm-hmm. of members.
I don't think it's necessarily raising the awareness. I think we do have a presence. I think we do have a presence internationally, but I think it's more extending that community out and making, you know, you think of where we were 10 years ago or 15 years ago as a society and how small our globe was, right? Or how big our globe was, I should say. And as we've evolved with technology and all this type of stuff, we've grown smaller, mm-hmm. right? I'm a mobile employee, so I work from home when I'm not traveling. So my globe has gotten smaller in how I do my work. But in the curling community, I think promoting the family aspect of it and just that we have this ability to bring people in from across the globe. And it's not just promoting us, it's promoting other clubs, bringing those people in. You get more awareness of different things out in the globe. I mean, the thing that appealed to me about the Margarita was the fact that, you know, at that point when I was curling, I wasn't aware that I could go over to another country and curl. I wasn't aware that there were these Bonspiels like Cortina or Margarita or Highland Week or anything. I mean, I didn't know about Highland Week until I went to Margarita in Copenhagen. It's not just promoting us. It's really promoting curling in general and the global. I mean, how many people can curl at an elite status, right? Or an elite level?
There's present a- company excluded.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. We can drink at an elite level. But
I mean, that appealed to me was that I could go curl at an international level or with other people across the globe. I would never have had that chance. There was a story I was once told about. So when St. Paul first started, women couldn't curl, right? Like this, I was told I was at the women's cold cache I competed in. This was several years ago when I first started curling. And there was a woman from California who used to be a member of St. Paul. She was one of the original women members. And she was telling us stories, just crazy stories about what it was like. You know, you were a woman, your man was curling, that type of thing. And then when women were able to curl and they were only allowed on sheets 7 and 8. And she told this one story. And to this day, I really don't know if she was like pulling my leg or if it was really true. But she told a story about sheet 8 where the women were curling and, there'd be wind blowing underneath the wall. There'd be like this hole in the roof and it's forming this mound of like drippage on the ice in front of the house. And one of the women threw the rock and it launched off the little pile of, you know, runoff from the ceiling, and it launched and it put a hole in the back wall. To this day, I still don't know if it's true, but it was a hilarious story. And I'm just like, it's funny. Anyway, one of the other interesting dynamics about curling is that the variety of backgrounds that people come from, and that you bond and you talk, like, you know, for me, what I said earlier is having that conversation around the table after the game and learning about people's backgrounds and bonding with people where, you know, you get into the workplace and there's this hierarchy, right? I'm a director, I'm a VP, I'm a CEO, I can't, you know, there's this hierarchy to it. But we have people that are doctors, we have people that are lawyers, we have people that are laymen, we have, you know, all these different backgrounds of people, and you just bond.
Do you know any jokes?
Not that I can tell on a podcast.
Tell it. No, no, tell the joke. No, tell the joke. Listen, no. If it's inappropriate, we won't put it in.
No, I can't. I can't tell those. I'll tell one. My little brother, who's really, he's only 8 years younger than me, so I won't tell my
age. He's still your little brother.
He's still my little brother, and I always call him that.
You can't back out now.
He's a little bra. Hey, bra.
What's invisible? Since it's Easter.
So, bra.
Ooh, I like Easter jokes.
What's invisible and smells like carrots?
Invisible carrots.
Bunny farts.
Ah.
It's great for the two-year-old.
I am.
He was two when he told me it.
I like that.
So my very first Bonspiel, women's cold cash. I was curling with Erica and two other women, and the we're on sheet 4, and we're coming down back towards the viewing windows, and I don't have curling. I didn't have any curling shoes at this time. I was just wearing sneakers, right? And sweeping really hard, and all of a sudden I wipe out and I fall and I land on the rock. And my broom goes flying like helicopter style through to sheet 1. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna hit somebody.
4-1.
And Erica yells out, clean up on aisle 4.
How does... I'm just trying to imagine a curling broom flying.
It was like I fell and it just went wham. And just like I released it. I didn't know I was a new curler. Yeah, it just released out of my right arm. And
thanks for... enduring this interview with us.
Thanks for having me for the interview.
It's been great.
Yeah, it's just been a blast. I don't know. I enjoy every one of these. I was late to the last one. I was early here. It's all good. But
too early.
Too early by most standards, yeah.
But he did finish a couple of margaritas.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well. You know, if you make them, I will drink.
Yeah. I need the recipe, by the way. It is a really good one.
Well, there's only one way to close, and that's...
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. Oh, wait.
How do you say sláinte in Mexican?
Sláinte.
What do they say in Mexico?
Is there a curling club in Mexico City?
There should be.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Come on. In Mexico, how do you say when you have beers? What do you say? What's your cheers in Spanish?
No cerveza, por favor.
Yeah, no, but there's like a... not. It's not skull.
This is a great question.
It's not skull. It's not...
Prost.
It's not prost. Yeah, it's not sláinte.
It's not give me more beer.
It's not cheers. It's...
Salud.